It's my privilege to introduce the Focus organization to you this morning. I'd like to welcome you to our chapel service. Before they begin their program, I would like to introduce you to the members of the group that will be leading you in worship. Doing the skit this morning will be Pat Hilliard. I'm going to ask these people to stand as I introduce them. Pat Hilliard is a second-year student from Durham. Mike Bradshaw is a second-year student from Hickory. Margaret Tyree is a first-year student from Madison Heights, Virginia. Martha Burton will be accompanying Margaret Tyree and doing a solo on the piano. She's from Danville, Virginia, and a first-year student. Dennis Hester will be playing the guitar and singing. He's a senior from Kernersville, North Carolina. David Turbyfield will be leading our opening prayer. He's a first-year student. And myself, I'm a senior, and I'm from Siler City, and my name is Peggy Stout. At this time, I'd like to ask you to continue our worship with responsive reading number 607. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing.
Love suffereth long, and is kind.
Love envieth not.
Love honoureth not itself.
Is not puffed up.
Doth not behave itself unseemly.
Seeketh not her own.
Not easy to provoke.
Thinketh no evil.
But
rejoiceth in the truth,
believeth
all things, endureth all things, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's continue our worship with singing hymn number 285.
Will you join with me at this moment in prayer? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for all the blessings you have given to us. We thank you especially, dear Lord, for this opportunity of coming together as a family to worship you in the best way that each of us can. Dear Heavenly Father, there are many here today with burdens on their hearts. We lift each of these up to you, dear Lord. Fill these burdens and take care of them as only you can. But above all, dear Lord, we ask your will be done in all things. Go with us, dear Lord. Lead us and guide us in everything that we do or say. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Don't get excited. I'm not going to impersonate Johnny Cash. I thank God for his amazing grace that was revealed through his son, Jesus Christ, and through a small portion of his family 9 years ago that persuaded me in their love and in their prayers to give my life to Jesus Christ and put my life in his hands. I've come a long ways, baby, since then till now, and got a long ways to go. I used to sling a lot of mud, but I wasn't covering a lot of ground. I started out with nothing, found Christ, and gained everything. He called me out of this world to go back into the world to call others out of the world, and that's all the business that I've got in this world. I can do a lot of things to make money, but I can only do one thing to be happy, and that's to preach the gospel. My life has taken on new meaning and a new direction. I have been encouraged, strengthened, and impressed most of all by God's amazing grace in my life and through the lives of others. My good college friend Robert Ford, also a graduate of Southeastern in 77, prayed at the conclusion of a recent worship service. He said, "Lord, I thank you for Dennis Hester. I want him to know that I love him and that I would die for him." That is living in God's amazing grace. Jonathan Ndunami, a Nigerian from Africa, graduated this past Christmas. He is my first roommate here at Southeastern. I said, "Jonathan, aren't you lonely? It's been nearly 3 years since you've seen your home and your family." He said, "Yes, I get lonely, but there's not any sacrifice too big to make for thy high calling and the work that God has called us to do. That is trusting and being sustained by God's amazing grace." My roommate and good friend, Ralph Edward Dale, said that he thought of me often this past summer, and when he thought of me, he called my name in prayer. That is sharing God's amazing grace. My favorite professor, the late Dr. Raymond E. Brown, stood before our New Testament survey class and said, "Brethren, you don't hate people into the kingdom of God. You love people into the kingdom of God. Don't be mean for Jesus." In word and deed, he proclaimed God's amazing grace. I think the old hymn would be a good prayer for each of us. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. You and I have no greater calling than to share a clearer revelation of God's amazing grace.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that called my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. How marvelous the grace that called my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
At this time, we have a skit performed by three students entitled "Meeting at the Park Bench," Mike Bradshaw, Pat Hilliard, and Margaret Tyree. Picture now one fairly quiet conservative woman sitting on a park bench eating her lunch. Two other people enter and sit closely on either side of her. The two suddenly recognize each other and begin a heated conversation, obviously oblivious to our sandwich friend.
"What a beautiful day. And what a great looking sandwich.
Fantastic. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just great, you know. Well, how's the Lord been treating you?
Oh, just unbelievable. And you?
Well, he's been blessing me up and down and backwards and forwards. I mean, you know, I'm so excited.
Say, didn't I see you at the Bible study Wednesday night?
I remember seeing
you.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Well, what did you think of Dr. Burnside's lesson on evangelism?
I thought he was a little bit fanatical.
What do you mean, fanatical?
Well, I mean, Pat, his whole mode of witnessing is just archaic.
You make it sound like sharing the good news went out with the fall of the Roman Empire.
That must have been when Dr. Burnside graduated from seminary.
He's only doing what God sent him here to do.
Pat, where in the Bible does it say that we're supposed to grab people by the neck, shake them senseless, then throw them on the ground, and then have the audacity to heave a 40-pound family Bible on top of them?
Yeah, and all you guys do is compromise. You are so busy identifying yourself with sinners that nobody can tell the difference.
Pat, my whole mode of witnessing is based on love. Why, there's a verse somewhere in the Bible that says, if I spoke with the words of a tongue-tied angel and have not love, well, I might as well be a clanging cymbal or a brass band. You gotta have love.
Love, schmuff. I mean, look at Paul's letter to the Philippines, where it says, faith without words is dead.
You mean works.
Well, works, whatever. But you've gotta work at sharing the word with people so that they can understand things like redemption, sanctification, excommunication. Mike, the harvest is ripe, and there is no harvest without the word.
But Pat, if I wasn't out there planting, there wouldn't be a harvest.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, somewhere in the Bible it says that someone planted, Dorcas watered, and Philemon picked.
Well, look in the book of Acts where Paul went up to that huge Roman gladiator and handed him a tract.
How else are you supposed to approach a big, dumb gladiator?
Well, not with love, I tell you that.
Pat, this is the 20th century. We've got to be more subtle in our...
Subtle?
Yes.
Mike, we can't soft sell the gospel. We've got to be bold.
Pat, there is a time and a place for everything, and that was not the time. Listen, with your mode of witnessing, all we have to do is yell and scare the sin out
well,
of them.
God, you were there Wednesday night. Dr. Burnside, he shared some really important scriptures with us, like the one he said, it's better to preach than to receive.
Pat, that's what I love about you. Warped scripture.
What do you mean, warped?
Pat, the whole Bible's emphasis is on love. Why, there's a verse in the New Testament that goes, yes, they'll know. Well, anyhow, they'll know we're Christians by our love. You know, you gotta have love.
Well, Dr. Burnside taught us that when we witness, that sinners should know where we stand.
Yeah, with his mode of witnessing, you might as well be a used car dealer. Hi, Bruce Brunson here, and have I got a four-wheel drive salvation plan for you?
Well, at least when I finish witnessing to them, they know where I stand.
Yeah. Pat, be honest about the whole situation. I don't see how you win anybody to the Lord.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Look, I tell you, all you ever do is compromise. I mean, I bet I could count the people you've converted on
Pat,
one hand.
There's a lot of love in this body, and I've won a lot of people to the Lord in my time.
All you do is love them and leave them.
Pat,
you never take them any farther. You are always so busy doing what you want to do that nobody knows where you stand, Mike.
Listen, Pat. What are we arguing for?
I don't know. I mean, you have your way of witnessing, and I have mine.
That's right. And the main thing is, well, that we just keep sharing the good news with the Lord's people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
Hey, you guys, Excuse me for eavesdropping, but I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. I was just wondering, could you share a little of this good news with me?
Well, Mike, it has been so nice, but I really have to go. I've got
listen,
another meeting in just a few minutes.
Great fellowship today.
It has
listen,
been nice.
Meet again.
And look,
hey,
let's meet at the apartment again sometime,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, maybe we can meet you
it's
again
sometime.
It's
real nice talking to
we
you.
We got to run.
See
I,
you
my
later.
My lunch break's over. See you later.
Thanks for the good news, guys. At times, aren't we all forgetful when it comes to sharing our faith? Forgive me, my friend, I failed you. I should have realized you were watching me, hoping for a glimpse of the Christ I know. Is all you've seen just patterns, routines, and pious words, when what you sought was love? Forgive me, I haven't really shown what you wanted to see, a glimpse of Christ living in me. Forgive me, and I'll try, my friend. Forgive me, and I'll pray that He
it's been our purpose this morning to share with you a little bit of who we are and what we are as the Focus organization, but not only as an organization, but as fellow Christians in the struggle with you and I to share the ministry to which God has called us to. We thank you for coming to participate in our chapel service this morning, and I would like to ask you to stand at this time as Dennis Hester asked our closing benediction.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to worship, for this time to fellowship, and this time to praise Thee. And we thank you for your blessings once again. As we go our separate ways, may we be sensitive to thy leadership and presence. And may we go with the light of your love and your message. And remember that we are the light of the world and the salt of this earth. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.